It's Big Ten Media Week with Dirt and Sprague.
The reality is, if you want to be elite in this sport, it takes putting together arguably three or four top five recruiting classes. Like, if you want a chance to legitimately win a national title and contend year in and year out, that's where you have to be.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Jump back to earlier parts of your favorite fan shows on the Odyssey app. The only way to rewind Portland's sports leader.
Big Ten Media Week with Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Hey, on the standard.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. I know it is weird to say hour number two at 7:10, but we just wrapped with Heather Dinich at 7:06-ish, and we thank Heather Dinich, Swag, arranging that. We're supposed to talk with Jeff Schwartz in about 3 or 4 minutes, so we might have a shorty here, and then we'll hop right back on. We'll talk with former Oregon offensive lineman and obviously longtime NFL lineman Jeff Schwartz. He'll join us. We'll get his thoughts on a floating duck in the river. If you ever thought you'd see Oregon be this, I mean, Oregon took a huge step in his time at in Eugene, but just kind of curious. Also, his thoughts on the landscape, Ohio State, where Oregon is in general, and what they're ultimately what they could reach maybe as a program this year with expectations kind of through the roof for them. So Jeff Schwartz is going to join us. We're working to talk with our buddy Steve Hellwagon. That might not be till 8 a.m. We are going, or until 9 a.m., excuse me. We are going till 10. So if you're just tuning in, you heard us talk to Heather Dinich. We're going 6 to 10 today and 6 to 10 tomorrow. I basically told Swag, if we're not getting coaches, let's just get as many media members as we can. We may also have Josh Pate today. So it's going to be a fluid, wild, unpredictable show in which we never really know when guests are stopping by. I didn't know Miller Moss was on the headset until he was on the headset. Again, Jeff Schwartz is going to join us here in just like 2 minutes. What we're going to do is we're going to get through a whole lot. We'll take a quick reprieve unless Swag surprises us with something. I've got Chauncey Billups audio to get to. I've got Ryan Day audio. A couple things that stood out from his podium comments yesterday. We can react to some of what Heather Dinich said with Oregon State, Washington State. I know they hope to be in a power conference at some point. A lot of rumblings out there on the Big 12. There's a guy who had something correct that is saying stuff about the Big 12. So we'll get to that coming up. But Jeff Schwartz is set to join the show here in about 2 minutes. So what we'll do is we'll take a very, very quick break, and we apologize because we know we just came back. And then when we come back, we will talk with Jeff Schwartz. Dirt and Sprague, back with Schwartz, next on The Fan.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here. Big Ten Media Days are brought to you in part by Legends Casino. Fun is how we roll. Swag is live in Indianapolis. We told you earlier it's going to be wild and all over the place. And sometimes we don't know when or who is going to pop on, but we were excited to find out that we could get Jeff Schwartz, former Oregon Duck offensive lineman, obviously NFL offensive lineman as well. You catch him on Sirius XM, Fox Sports, and his new show, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You, because, well, he played football, and he is. He absolutely is. He joins us now. Jeff Schwartz on Twitter. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for hopping on with us, man. How you doing?
I'm good. You know, it's a little surreal, this whole, Big Ten Media Day and seeing the logos of the four West Coast schools. And the funniest part to me is on the big jumbotrons here in the morning before we get going here, they sort of roll through a bunch of different award winners in the Big Ten. And right now the draft is up here. And, you know, they're including Caleb Williams and Roma Dunze and Bo Nix and Leatu Latu as Big Ten players.
They're taking credit, huh?
They had leaderboards up yesterday, and they had like, you know, Jim Thorpe Award, and it was like Mark Carrier from 1989 at USC. I'm like, I don't know if you could claim that for the Big Ten, but I guess you sort of have to now. So, you know, it's real. It's different, but it's real. So we have to embrace it.
Do you like it, though?
I don't know if like is the right word. As an Oregon fan, there's relief, you know, especially when you see what's happening with the ACC right now and how there's a very clearly defined top two hierarchy with SEC and Big Ten. So I feel very relieved that Oregon is in the Big Ten. I feel like this is, you know, big boy football, which we certainly deserve to be in. And so that to me is So relief, I think, is the right way to put it. I'm relieved Oregon's here. But again, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what to make of the Big Ten yet. We just got here. You know Michigan, Ohio State, and the Penn State, you know, for the most part, their history. You know, it's learning everyone else. It's talking to these coaches and players and finding tidbits about their programs. You know, I'm doing SiriusXM. Everyone will tune in today. And, you know, doing it with Anthony Herron, who's great, and Ben Hartzog. And, you know, those are two Big Ten lifers. And, you know, hearing them talk about schools and storylines and stuff that I just, no matter what research that I do, I ain't going to find. But, you know, that's the way they probably feel when I talk about the four Pac-12 schools, right? So it's a learning experience, but I'm enjoying being out here.
You know, your new show, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You. You very well are. I'm curious, though, you were at Oregon at kind of the launch of branding and changing and uniforms, and you were at the start of all of that stuff. I'm curious, did Jeff Schwartz in college, or even Jeff Schwartz now, think he'd ever be in Indianapolis and see a big-ass floating duck in the river, and what he makes of all that?
Dude, I got done at 3 yesterday, and I walked back to the hotel, got something to eat. And then I got on I love taking those little scooters, right?
Like
little scooters.
Yeah.
I love it. I got on because it's like my adventure. I'm not very adventurous. It's taking a scooter through a city is adventurous for me. And I first walked to the river. I walked one way. I looked for the duck forever. I was like, where is this duck at? Like, I wanted to take a picture. I was going to take a selfie with it. And then I got on a scooter. I was tired of walking, and I started scooting around. I saw they had taken it down. So I was so bummed. I got there like at 5 o'clock. If I had forego my meal instead of being a fatty, I would have been able to see the duck on the river. This is just another example of just the brilliant marketing strategy of Oregon, right? It's not even Oregon's Day. Oregon's Day is tomorrow at Big Ten Media Day. And yet we started yesterday talking here about Oregon. Yeah. And we're talking about Oregon at the Big Ten Media, not even their day, right? Tony Petitti, the Big Ten commissioner, spoke yesterday as well. Like, and all everyone talked about on social media was this duck that Oregon put on the river. And it's just brilliant marketing, continued success of this advertising marketing by Oregon. You know, we're talking about Oregon. And again, the point of that is hype, recruiting, all those things that matter, right? Attention that matter. You know, recruits see that stuff. Recruits love things like that, man. So I thought it was just really brilliant of them.
Yeah, Jeff Schwartz is joining us, former Oregon offensive lineman, 8-year offensive lineman, Sirius XM. You can catch him on that, Fox Sports as well, and his new show, Jeff Schwartz is Smarter Than You podcast. There is a, man, it's wild to see. Not only are they new to the conference, but they've kind of become the storyline. Texas had a little bit of this at SEC Media Day, and it's like they haven't played a conference game, and I feel like people already kind of hate Oregon just because of the amount of eyeballs they take from everybody else in that conference already. Like Brett Bielema, nobody knew what you said because everybody was looking at a photo of a floating duck in a river.
Yeah, it's impressive to see where Oregon has become. I mean, to come into a conference as, you know, storied as this one, and Michigan won the championship last season. Like, there's a lot to talk about in this conference, and a lot of attention is focused on Oregon, and that's because of the football first and foremost, right? I mean, what Dan Lanning has done and staff of bringing in a very talented roster, having success in his first two seasons, it's impressive, and there are going to be a lot of attention on Oregon when they're here tomorrow. We talked a lot about them yesterday. We'll do it again today because they're the team that a lot of teams are chasing, right? They're chasing Ohio State, but they're also chasing Oregon. So it's nice that we've gone to this point where we're a university that is looked at in this way for the football program.
I'm curious, you know, Kirby Smart makes a joke at his former colleague Dan Lanning in Oregon and says, I wish I could get some of that Phil Knight Nike money. And Rob Mullins told the Oregonian that, like, it makes him uncomfortable that everybody just gives NIL money is the reason why Oregon's doing well. One, your thoughts of just Oregon kind of being disruptors and upsetting the world because they're recruiting so well and getting talent. And two, what stands out to Jeff Schwartz, former Oregon guy who covers college football, what stands out about Dan Lanning that's different from what they've had?
Well, I remember I was at that game in Atlanta. Oregon lost 49-3, right? I was at that game. Afterwards, I think Kirby Smart said something like, paraphrase, like, Dan Lanning knows we have better players. So they went and got better players, Kirby. Like you said, they need better players. They did exactly what you said, which is go get better football players. You know, the Oregon's NIL, Phil Knight, Nike, it's a boogeyman. You can just say it whenever you want to deflect blame or put blame or, you know, use as an excuse. And teams and coaches and media members just do that all the time. The fact is, a small percentage of players go to colleges for the money alone, right? Oregon's competing routinely with Ohio State, Texas, A&M, some schools in the South. Do you think Oregon has a definitively better offer than these other schools? No. They're about the same. They all talk. They know sort of what around what they're getting offered, because especially if you go visit LSU and you come back to Oregon and say, hey, I need an extra $100,000, they sort of know what LSU's offering, right? Mm-hmm. And Oregon doesn't get every player they want. If they did, then that I think you'd make a bigger argument that they just pay for everyone, but they don't, right? The reason why Oregon has success in the NIL space is the organization and the operational wherewithal of Division Street. It is the best run NIL. It is run by professionals who understand business and marketing and advertising. Oregon does not break the rules, right? They don't show up to some recruit's house with a bag of cash. You have to get on campus before you receive any money, which is the way that NIL works. There's also requirements for things you have to do in the community to get that money. They're not just giving you money for free. I mean, so there's many reasons why the Oregon NIL program functions the way it is. And the other thing that is just naive on the part of a lot of people is, you know, everyone looks at Oregon and thinks it's just Phil Knight. I'm telling you, and Oregon fans know this, it's not just Phil Knight, guys. And I know Phil's getting up in age, and there's plans in place, everyone. Like this idea that Oregon's just going to disappear. Oregon has lots of boosters. Again, it's one program working together. They all have the same goal. They let smart, competent people run the NIL program, and that is part of the reason why. You mentioned Dan Lanning. He is young. He's my age. He's 38, man. He understands these kids now. The Gen Z, you know, Gen X, whatever they are, Gen A now. I don't even know what age group he's recruiting. You know, they're different than millennials and boomers and Gen X. Like Dan Lanning knows how to talk to them, knows how to relate to them. I think that the parents really trust that Lanning has the best interest out for their kids. And he's not going anywhere. I mean, if he took down Alabama, which I know he did, where's he going to go? He's not going anywhere else. So, you know, if you send your kid there, Lanning's not leaving. And other things that I think are advantageous, like Oregon's sending a bunch of kids to the NFL now, which mm-hmm. we didn't for a while, all over the place, right? Wide receiver, which is a position for as good as Oregon's offense has been over the years, didn't really send many wide receivers to the NFL. Offensive linemen, quarterbacks, cornerbacks. Well, this year we'll send a more defensive lineman to the NFL, linebacker. I mean, we're sending all everywhere. So, now, when you come to Oregon, you get the really well-run NIL program, plus you get to go to the NFL, and you get a coach that you trust to be there and nurture your kids, and so it makes it easy sell.
Yeah. Jeff Schwartz is our guest here, former Oregon offensive lineman. We got a couple more for you before we let you go here, Jeff. Our producer today is Will Ortner. He played offensive line in college. He had an offensive line question. You are smarter than everybody else, and so I'm curious to see where this goes with offensive line-based question from an offensive lineman to an offensive lineman.
Jeff, I think the biggest growth that you've seen in Oregon in the last 5 years isn't that NIL has come in and they're buying everybody, right? It's the growth of the offensive line position as a whole. When Chip Kelly took those teams to deep title contending runs, it always felt like when they went against a Florida State or they went against an Ohio State, they just lost the war in the trenches. Yes. How has Coach Lanning gone out and been able to recruit top-end high school offensive line talent? But then really, how has he been able to develop them? Because they seem to get better every single year. What are they doing in that program?
Well, the first thing is identifying, you know, big bodies. It started with Mario Cristobal, right? He came and just changed the blueprint for the body structure that you need to have to win, right? You need big guys. Chip Kelly just wasn't he didn't recruit big offensive linemen like 330, 325, and Lanning and Mario have recruited bigger players. And it comes down to obviously the development of the development of their talent. And you know, we had Alex Maribel's offensive line coach who was at Miami with Mario was great. Mm-hmm. Clem was great. And then Elite Terry is fantastic. He's 30 years old. I think a really savvy hire of adding Mike Kavanaugh as an analyst who's a 30-year offensive line coach was important. So that's one thing that, you know, Lanning has hired really good coaches. And the development of the players has been important to Oregon's success. And, yeah, they can punch you in the mouth. They can pass protect. They can do everything you need to win, and you're going to need that against Ohio State, Michigan this year. Those two teams with their defensive lines, you need an offensive line like Oregon's.
Jeff, I'm curious, when you think of this Oregon team, my co-host, who coincidentally booked a vacation at this time, we didn't know the date, and so he is out today. He's an Oregon alum, and he's been following and covers this team pretty closely. He thinks on paper this could be the most talented team. I'm curious, I don't know if that would where you put that kind of stuff. You're a former player, so maybe hate that, but your thoughts on that, and they're just like, when you think of this year's Oregon team, they get Dylan Gabriel to replace Bo, they're loaded at receiver, just your overall thoughts of what, how far can this Oregon team go? Can this Oregon team get to a title game?
On paper, they can. I mean, you look at the talent they have and the depth. I mean, depth is so important in a playoff structure where you have to, you know, to get to a title game, you got to at least play two games, maybe three, and you need that depth in really a couple places. Defensive line, which I think Oregon is building and done a good job there. And you need depth, in my opinion, at the cornerback position, because you're going to face Ohio State that has three wide receivers that are going to the NFL, maybe more, right? Like, you need, and we got with Muhammad and some of the other additions, we've gotten enough cornerbacks now, I think, to just cycle those guys through in a game and not be concerned when your backup is in, which hurt us a lot against Washington last year when backups came in or the safeties were attacked in that game. And so I think the depth there is hugely important. And two, you know, getting Dante Moore, and I've heard Austin Nova said it's actually done a really good job as well. But having that backup quarterback is important. You never know, man, right? You don't want to lose a season to a quarterback getting hurt when you have a talented roster like this. I'm not saying that Dante Moore or Nova said is better than Dylan Gabriel, but the idea is you have a competent backup who can get you through either a couple weeks without a quarterback or win you games for the rest of the season with a talented roster around them. So I think there's no doubt this is the most talented roster we've had at Oregon. And the job now is to go out and execute.
Yeah, good stuff. Jeff Schwartz, former Oregon offensive lineman, NFL offensive lineman. You can catch him on Sirius XM, Fox Sports as well. And what do we got coming up on Jeff Schwartz? I'm smarter than you. I love that you're doing a show like this.
Yeah, we should be back next week. Okay. We're gonna start previewing the season. I mean, we do a lot of NFL on that show, so we'll start with our division previews. Yep. And we'll throw a couple college wagers in there as well. So looking forward to getting going. We got your NFL training camps starting up, man. So should have pads on pretty soon. Hall of Fame games in, I don't know, week-ish away, and football will be here before we know it.
Yeah, we're really excited. Thanks so much for joining us, man. We'd love to get you on during the season. We'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
All right, there we go. Jeff Schwartz, former Oregon offensive lineman there, joining us here. We'll be back with some thoughts on what he said there and a whole lot more to get into. Dirt and Sprague on the Fan.
I'm alive, and your mind is not your own.
This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Just because I want to give them a shout-out, they do a good job of marketing one of the best in all of sports, not minor league, major league, all of sports. The Portland Pickles, who I think just had a Simpsons night. They do a bunch of theme nights, which make the games enjoyable and entertaining. Coming up on Saturday at Walker Stadium, they are launching a rocket to Uranus.
Nice.
So there you go.
Dude, those games are a great time.
Every time I see them, people are stumbling and spinning and falling, and they've got old people coming out of the stands and throwing, and it's a good time over there at Lintz Park, and the Portland Pickles do a good job of pubbing themselves, being active on social, and coming up with good themes. And so they're going to launch a rocket, and their plan is to launch that rocket to Uranus.
It's fantastic. Also, if you want a beer bat, buy it really early, because if you wait till the third inning,
quick, yeah.
Yeah, they run out.
They're gone.
Had no idea. Had to buy the stupid ice cream.
Interesting stuff from Jeff Schwartz, you're never going to get people to say, ah, okay, I changed my take on this. Oregon is a recruiting juggernaut now. And Kirby Smart called it out at SEC Media Day, and Dan Lanning responded, who we hope to talk to tomorrow at around 9:45 a.m. That'll be our last segment of the day. Dusty will join me for that. Said the Wabbit has the gun now. We flipped it on Elmer Fudd, and now Oregon's got the gun, and so people are freaking out. I saw Orem's article at Oregon Live where Rob Mullen says he feels uneasy of people just saying Oregon's buying all the players. He says it's much more than that, and so does Jeff Schwartz. We got a tweet during the interview that says, let's be real, if Oregon didn't have Phil Knight backing, they would still be just a mediocre team that wouldn't have been invited to the Big Ten. After Phil's no longer around, I see some of that money going away, to which I would say, I think Jeff Schwartz hinted at that's not a thing. The Phil Knight estate probably has something in line, and oh, by the way, we do a bit of a disservice to Oregon in the realm of Phil Knight is the biggest, the most influential, but like they still have people donating lots of money. Lots of money. So you're always going to get that debate of Oregon's just buying every player. And certainly I think it's part of the equation. I don't even think Dan Lanning has shied away from that. Like their NIL collective, their situation. I'm alive, and your mind is not
your own. This is a Big Ten Media Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app.
On 1080 The Fan.
Just because I want to give them a shout out, they do a good job of marketing one of the best in all of sports, not minor league, major league, all of sports. The Portland Pickles, who I think just had a Simpsons night, they do a bunch of theme nights, which make the games enjoyable and entertaining. Coming up on Saturday at Walker Stadium, they are launching a rocket to Uranus.
Nice.
So there you go.
Dude, those games are a great time.
Every time I see them, people are stumbling and spinning and falling, and they've got old people coming out of the stands and throwing, and it's a good time over there at Lintz Park, and the Portland Pickles do a good job of pubbing themselves, being active on social, and coming up with good themes. And so they're going to launch a rocket, and their plan is to launch that rocket to Uranus.
It's fantastic. Also, if you want a beer bat, buy it really early, because if you wait till the third
they go
inning,
quick, yeah.
Yeah, they run out.
They're gone.
Had no idea. Had to buy the stupid ice cream.
Interesting stuff from Jeff Schwartz. You're never going to get people to say, ah, okay, I changed my take on this. Oregon is a recruiting juggernaut now. And Kirby Smart called it out at SEC Media Day. And Dan Lanning responded, who we hope to talk to tomorrow at around 9:45 a.m. That'll be our last segment of the day. Dusty will join me for that. Said the Wabbit has the gun now. We flipped it on Elmer Fudd, and now Oregon's got the gun, and so people are freaking out. I saw Orem's article at Oregon Live where Rob Mullen says he feels uneasy of people just saying Oregon's buying all the players. He says it's much more than that, and so does Jeff Schwartz. We got a tweet during the interview that says, let's be real, if Oregon didn't have Phil Knight backing, they would still be just a mediocre team that wouldn't have been invited to the Big Ten. After Phil's no longer around, I see some of that money going away, to which I would say, I think Jeff Schwartz hinted at that's not a thing. The Phil Knight estate probably has something in line, and oh, by the way, we do a bit of a disservice to Oregon in the realm of Phil Knight is the biggest, the most influential, but like they still have people donating lots of money. Lots of money. So you're always going to get that debate of Oregon's just buying every player. And certainly I think it's part of the equation. I don't even think Dan Lanning has shied away from that. Like their NIL collective, their situation absolutely helps them. What you don't get a lot in that sport, in that conversation, is there's a little bit of a middle ground here. We can admit that the backing, the supporting, the resources, the NIL, all of that stuff is definitely top end. Also, Dan Lanning is doing this very, very well. All of that stuff, you know, NIL wasn't quite around, but like most of this stuff was around with Mario, and he was doing a good job. Dan Lanning has improved it. And so I think there's a little more middle ground in that conversation than people would care to admit, Will.
Well, I think the real thing about it is that people aren't giving enough credit to Mike Bellotti or to Chip Kelly or even Mark Helfrich. Like, most of the kids
You stop it right there.
At least for the first year. Hey, he went to a natty. He went to a natty the first year. Yep. But here's what I'm saying.
He was a non-play calling offensive coordinator who just took exactly what Chip left and just rolled it in. We saw who Mark Helfrich was at the end.
Right, but here's what I'm saying about all that, though. All these kids that are turning 16, 17, 18 right now that you're recruiting, that's what they remember of Oregon. That's how they think about Oregon.
The Chip stuff's almost too old for most of them.
Bilotti stuff probably is.
2010, 2011, 2012.
Right. That's what these kids think about. They're like, this is Oregon. They have the cool, flashy jerseys. They go out and they win a lot of football games. Mm-hmm. They play in the blur offense.
Yep.
I'm going to be on TV all the time. I'm going to have a chance at winning a national championship.
Sick uniforms, you know, top-end Nike stuff, exclusive Jordans, all that stuff.
And that's why they're getting these recruits. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not an idiot. If they didn't have any NIL money, Oregon wouldn't be getting as many recruits as they are. But I think that we downplay the prestige that Oregon has given themselves the last 20 years. Like, in my lifetime, and I'm slightly older than this group of recruits that are coming in, it's an 8-year gap.
Yeah.
Which isn't that big, but it is at this age, right? Yeah. I only think of Oregon as winning. I think of Jonathan Stewart. I think of LaMichael James, Kenyon Barner, just running roughshod over people. De'Anthony Thomas being fantastic. Dennis Dixon coming out and dominating, right? So you think about all these great players. That's in the last 20 years. That's all these kids know. All they know about Oregon is that they're awesome. They don't know that Tennessee used to be good in the 90s. No one cares about that at that age. They care about what's happening now.
I think what we can... Yeah, and then like you said it earlier with something else, but I think it's kind of it's a chicken and an egg thing. Like, we know how it was launched, how it was started, how it's been brought up. Like, nobody's talking about that. What you're hitting at is they have established branding, powerful, standalone branding that sticks out massively. I mean, yesterday, like, if I asked college football fan who maybe is a big fan but not a diehard per se, right? Like, wake me when the games start. Not so much like the off-season stuff. Would they have been able to identify what programs were talking yesterday at Big Ten Media Day?
No.
Like, maybe Ohio State. Maybe. Nobody knew Rutgers and Illinois and Purdue. Like, yesterday was about a floating duck more than it was almost anything else.
Right. They won the
That's branding. That's smart marketing. That they are they're one of the last teams to talk at Big Ten Media Day. They're in the group tomorrow.
Right.
And today and yesterday, massive Oregon stuff. That speaks to what the brand has kind of become, to your point.
Yeah, they've won marketing. And I mean, it probably starts with the Joey Harrington billboard, which I'm just young enough that I don't really remember it.
All right, like, now you need to stop. Now you're making me feel really old, because that was a huge deal back in the day.
See, but that's what I'm saying, though. So, like, when I come in, my first memory is Jonathan Stewart, Dennis Dixon, those teams, Jeff Schwartz, those fantastic teams. What did they do? They went into the Big House and they won. But then when they won against Michigan, they were swinging the sledgehammer and they had a bunch of Oregon stuff on. That's
the Statue of Liberty, the fake Statue of Liberty, like all those flashy, cool plays when Chip got there.
They were doing the crazy stuff before people were doing that. Back then, you still had an I formation. You'd run a fullback. You ran the ball three times in a row. And, hey, it's fourth down, but it's fourth and one, so we can run it again.
Right.
They were doing read options. They were the originators of this zone read RPO new system that's, you know, kind of come into college football that's everywhere. It's even in the NFL nowadays. So in a lot of this younger generation's mind, they are in the forefront not only of offensive innovation, but of that branding of they're going to have the crazy unis. They were the first to have the gloves where you got the O in the middle. That was sick. I remember in middle school being like, I have to buy Oregon gloves because it's got the O's.
The chrome helmet.
The wings that they had at the Rose Bowl when they took on Wisconsin. Those are the things that kids remember. And look, they haven't won a title yet, but they're about as close as any team that hasn't won a title in the last 10 to 15 years. And that's going to be enough to say, hey, look, we have the championship prestige. We're right there.
We will get to Ohio State at the top of the 8 a.m. hour. We will take a quick pause and break from football. And we will talk about something that a local head coach said on a podcast. That's next on The Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure? Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, with memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. A Big Ten Media Day week. Swag in Indianapolis. We may have Jack Velling, former Oregon State tight end, who's now at Michigan State. We will not have Jonathan Smith. Shocking development. He doesn't want to talk. We may have Steve Hellwagon, who covers Ohio State. I'll get to some Ohio State dealings at the top of this hour. You can find Crunch at crunch.com. They've got tons of locations, as low as $9.99 a month. Visit them, crunch.com. Get some basketball dealings here. Let's take a quick pause in our football stuff. And by the way, you can reach the text line at 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line, because they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. I cannot log in. My Vibes is not working.
Oh, I'm in.
So I'm sorry I have not responded or seen any text to anything, so I apologize on that. That's not me ignoring. That's me simply saying I can't log into the website, and also the show has been so just kind of all over the place, as naturally you would expect on a Big Ten Media Day. We're B1G Oregon now, so it's just been wild and crazy. We had the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers on the Carmelo Anthony podcast yesterday reveal that he had a player in a game against New Orleans did something incredibly stupid. Here is the audio.
We in New Orleans. We're down like 18 at the half. I had a kid. He had a nasty dunk. We coming out for the third quarter. This motherfucker done posted his dunk on his joint.
Stop it.
At halftime.
Yo, stop.
Yo, at halftime, hey, bro, we down 18.
You got to optimize those numbers.
What you do, though? What
you, man,
do?
You know I grinded his up, man. I get wind of it. I said, hey, yo, bro, get the back there and take the down off your joint, man. What the is wrong with you, man? Yeah. My bad, coach. He run to the back. We getting bombed, bro. We down 18. He posted joint at halftime. I said, man, what is going on?
I checked the Rip City Reddit page. Most people think, because they've dug into this, 18 points at the half in New Orleans specifically is what he cited. Most people think this was Nazir Little.
That's awesome.
Which may or may not track.
Hey, look.
Greg Brown was my first guess, as everybody else kind of threw out there. Like, if there was anybody to do something like that, wouldn't it be two-way Greg Brown? But as many people went and looked, Greg Brown didn't have a dunk in that first half. And everybody that talked about this, at least on the Reddit page, was like, I remember watching this game. Nas had a sick dunk. So it's probably Nas Little.
Of course he posted it. I can't tell you how many times the people at halftime of college games or, you know, pro football games, oh, I gotta tweet out that sick play.
Really?
I got that. Oh, yeah.
I just, you know, I'm of the era that's just like slightly older than you. And by slightly, I mean way older than you. We didn't really have phones most of my entire middle school, high school life. Actually, we didn't really have phones till senior year of high school.
Mm.
And that was even like a couple people, not everybody.
You had the razor?
I didn't have a phone.
Wow.
My senior year of high school.
And a razor.
I'd use my mom's to text girls.
Nice.
But I just can't fathom a world where I'm like getting into halftime, man, it's a sick 20-yard catch here. And I'm like, I'm going to go repost it. Or like ever being in a position where that's going through my head of, let me repost a highlight in the middle of a game.
I had buddies that'd be on Tinder.
Swiping right at halftime?
Oh, dude, if you're up big, now you don't do it when you're down 18. That's just a bad look. You got to be smarter than that, Nas, or whoever it was.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
Yeah. But yeah, if we were up big, there were dudes swiping on Tinder. Got to find out what's going on in Burnaby. Got to find out what's going on in Humboldt. It's just one of those things. It's one of the battles, I think, that a lot of college coaches and probably professional coaches have to battle now, especially with the younger generation. Like, As soon as something sick happens, you post it. That's what you do on Instagram. Like, oh, at the Mariners game, got to make sure I get this story out. Got to make sure everyone knows my life is sick and theirs sucks.
Well, so I can acknowledge that, like, I don't feel comfortable in that world because, like, that's not what we did. I, however, would like to respond and say, like, would I care a whole lot if I was a coach?
If you're down 18, yes. If you're not down, who cares?
Well, it's not a good look, I think, maybe for your culture and your organization, I guess, if an athlete is going and, like, that's what they care about, being down 18 points. But if I found out if we won, an athlete had reposted something at halftime, I don't know how I'd handle that as a coach. I want to say I'm pretty player-friendly coach. I don't yell and scream the way coaches did at me my whole life. I like to think that I'd pull him to the side and calmly be like, hey,
don't do that.
Cool moment. It was great. Can we not? But also, maybe I'd just be in on that world now because that world has to be so appeasing to the player that you, I don't know, tend not to care. But Chauncey's also old school, and he played in an era where they didn't have cell phones.
Well, I think what most college and professional players learn is it's just a bad look in general. It's the same thing as, like, you're posting the 40 that you bought or the bottle that you bought when you go out at night. And then, oh, hey, I feel sick the next morning. I got to call in sick for work.
Right.
Your coworkers are going to see that.
Yes.
It's something that everyone kind of has to go through. Like, I remember mine where it's like, ah, this is sick. I'm hanging out with my buddies and I'm in Seattle. Oh, there was an optional workout that you were supposed to be at. Or, you know, I had a roommate in college who he was legitimately sick. I watched him, you know, have his sickness. That was his issue. Well, on his story from the night before was him going and hanging out with the boys and, you know, being out too late, doing whatever they were doing.
Sure.
And so then he misses work and everyone's like, well, he missed work because he was out partying too much. And it's like, no, I watched him. He is sick. I took him to the doctor. I know he's sick. But no one else took him to the doctor, so you don't know. It's something that whoever that player was had to learn, and everyone has to learn it at some point. I mean, Shador Sanders was posting, like, buy my sunglasses and buy my wristwatch at halftimes of games. So it's just something that it's a part of growing up now. Like, you have to learn that lesson. And it happens, and then you hopefully never do it again. And if you're an idiot, you do it again and again and again, and you wonder, why do I keep getting in trouble? I just want to live.
I just think it's funny Chauncey sharing these stories publicly on podcasts. He's just going into maybe his last year as a Blazer coach saying, yeah, let me tell you some stories. Basketball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. User savings calculator. Find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Ryan Day talked yesterday. A couple takeaways I had, some things about Ohio State. Get to that 8 a.m. hour next on the Fan.
It's crunch time.
Let's go!
Where Dirt and Sprague crunch the hot topics you want to hear.
What's the pressure?
Don't sit here and act like there's no... We get nervous teeing off in front of a gallery on the 10th hole at Eastmoreland.
Crunch time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness. With memberships as low as $9.99 per month. Find your crunch time in Portland, Vancouver, and online at crunch.com.
All right, crunch time. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague with you. A Big Ten Media Day week swag in Indianapolis. We may have Jack Velling, former Oregon State tight end, who is now at Michigan State. We will not have Jonathan Smith. Shocking development. He doesn't want to talk. We may have Steve Hellwagon, who covers Ohio State. I'll get to some Ohio State dealings at the top of this hour. You can find Crunch at crunch.com. They've got tons of locations, as low as $9.99 a month. Visit them, crunch.com. Get some basketball dealings here. Let's take a quick pause in our football stuff. And by the way, you can reach the text line at 503-864-6326. That's the Vancouver Ford text line because they treat you right before, during, and after the sale. Visit them at vancouverford.com. I cannot log in. My Vibes is not working.
Oh, I'm in.
So I'm sorry I have not responded or seen any text to anything, so I apologize on that. That's not me ignoring. That's me simply saying I can't log into the website, and also the show has been so just kind of all over the place, as naturally you would expect on a Big Ten Media Day. We're B1G Oregon now, so it's just been wild and crazy. We had the head coach of the Portland Trailblazers on the Carmelo Anthony podcast yesterday reveal that he had a player in a game against New Orleans did something incredibly stupid. Here is the audio.
We in New Orleans. We're down like 18 at the half. I had a kid. He had a nasty dunk. We coming out for the third quarter. This motherfucker then posted his dunk on his joint.
Stop it.
At halftime.
Yo, stop.
Yo, at halftime, hey, bro, we down 18.
You got to optimize those numbers.
What you do, though? What
you man, say? You know I grinded his up, man. I get wind of it. I said, hey, yo, bro, get the back there and take the down off your joint, man. What the is wrong with you, man? Yeah. My bad, coach. He run to the back. We getting bombed, bro. We down 18. He posted a joint at halftime. Yeah. I said, man, what is going on?
I checked the Rip City Reddit page. Most people think, because they've dug into this, 18 points at the half in New Orleans specifically is what he cited. Most people think this was Nasir Little.
That's awesome.
Which may or may not track.
Hey, look.
Greg Brown was my first guess, as everybody else kind of threw out there. Like, if there was anybody to do something like that, wouldn't it be two-way Greg Brown? But as many people went and looked, Greg Brown didn't have a dunk in that first half. And everybody that talked about this, at least on the Reddit page, was like, I remember watching this game. Nas had a sick dunk. So it's probably Nas Little.
Of course he posted it. I can't tell you how many times the people at halftime of college games or, you know, pro football games. Oh, I gotta tweet out that sick play.
Really?
I got that. Oh, yeah.
I just, you know, I'm of the era that's just like slightly older than you. And by slightly, I mean way older than you. We didn't really have phones most of my entire middle school, high school life. Actually, we didn't really have phones till senior year of high school.
Mm.
And that was even like a couple people, not everybody.
You had the razor?
I didn't have a phone.
Wow.
My senior year of high school.
And a razor.
I'd use my mom's to text girls.
Nice.
But I just can't fathom a world where I'm like getting into halftime, man, it's a sick 20-yard catch here. And I'm going to go repost it. Or like ever being in a position where that's going through my head of, let me repost a highlight in the middle of a game.
I had buddies that'd be on Tinder.
Swiping right at halftime?
If you're up big, now you don't do it when you're down 18. That's just a bad look. You got to be smarter than that, Nas. Or whoever it was.
I don't think we have it confirmed yet.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah. But yeah, if we were up big, there were dudes swiping on Tinder. Got to find out what's going on in Burnaby. Got to find out what's going on in Humboldt. It's just one of those things. It's one of the battles I think that a lot of college coaches and probably professional coaches have to battle now, especially with the younger generation. Like, as soon as something sick happens, you post it. That's what you do on Instagram. Like, oh, at the Mariners game, got to make sure I get this story out. Got to make sure everyone knows my life is sick and theirs sucks.
Well, so I can acknowledge that, like, I don't feel comfortable in that world because, like, that's not what we did. I, however, would like to respond and say, like, would I care a whole lot if I was a coach?
If you're down 18, yes. If you're not down, who cares?
Well, it's not a good look, I think, maybe for your culture and your organization, I guess, if an athlete is going and like that's what they care about, being down 18 points. But if I found out if we won, an athlete had reposted something at halftime, I don't know how I'd handle that as a coach. I want to say I'm pretty player-friendly coach. I don't yell and scream the way coaches did at me my whole life. I like to think that I'd pull him to the side and calmly be like, hey,
don't do that.
Cool moment. It was great. Can we not? But also, maybe I'd just be in on that world now because that world has to be so appeasing to the player that you, I don't know, tend not to care. But Chauncey's also old school, and he played in an era where they didn't have cell phones.
Well, I think what most college and professional players learn is it's just a bad look in general. It's the same thing as like, you're posting the 40 that you bought or the bottle that you bought when you go out at night. And then, oh, hey, I feel sick the next morning. I got to call in sick for work.
Right.
Your coworkers are going to see that.
Yes.
It's something that everyone kind of has to go through. Like, I remember mine where it's like, this is sick. I'm hanging out with my buddies and I'm in Seattle. oh, there was an optional workout that you were supposed to be at. Or, you know, I had a roommate in college who he was legitimately sick. I watched him, you know, have his sickness. That was his issue. Well, on his story from the night before was him going and hanging out with the boys and, you know, being out too late, doing whatever they were doing.
Sure.
And so then he misses work and everyone's like, well, he missed work because he was out partying too much. And it's like, no, I watched him. He is sick. I took him to the doctor. I know he's sick, but no one else took him to the doctor. So you don't know. It's something that whoever that player was had to learn. And everyone has to learn it at some point. I mean, Shedeur Sanders was posting like, buy my sunglasses and buy my wristwatch at half times of games. So it's just something that it's a part of growing up now. Like, you have to learn that lesson. And it happens, and then you hopefully never do it again. And if you're an idiot, you do it again and again and again, and you wonder, why do I keep getting in trouble? I just want to live.
I just think it's funny Chauncey sharing these stories publicly on podcasts. He's just going into maybe his last year as a Blazer coach saying, yeah, let me tell you some stories. Basketball coverage on the Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile, and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use your savings calculator. Find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. A lot to get to in the second hour of the radio program. Ryan Day talked yesterday. A couple takeaways I had, some things about Ohio State. Get to that 8 a.m. hour next on the Fan.